they didn't know God could love them because their churches said God didn't. And so if we can be a church which brings Jesus to people who are told can't be loved, that's the Methodist church that I love.
We were both inspired to come here after the sitting president said the vile and vicious and hateful comments he did on Tuesday.
Our nation must defend the sanctity of marriage.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBTQ radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon.
And I'm Lucia Chappell. Israeli co-moms win birth certificate recognition.
A Methodist prophet foretells coming inclusion.
And when San Francisco's weddings were coming up rosy.
Those stories and more this week, now that you found This Way Out.
I'm Elena Botkin-Levy.
And I'm Danielle Wissias.
With News Wrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending March 23rd, 2024. Israeli lesbian couples can now be listed as co-mothers on the birth certificates of their children by anonymous sperm donors. A three-judge panel of the High Court of Justice unanimously overruled the Population and Immigration Authority on March 21st. Acting Supreme Court President Uzi Fogelman, with Judges Ruth Ronan and Alex Stein, rejected the Population Authority's claim that birth certificates should reflect only biological parentage. The judges declared that both the biological and non-biological mothers should enjoy equal parental rights and obligations, and that the non-biological partner's legal status as a parent is established through adoption. Fogelman wrote for the court that drawing a distinction between biological and non-biological mothers sends a harmful message that while biological parentage is real parentage, non-biological parentage is inferior and suspicious parenting, a sort of conditional parentage. Daniela Jacoby, Hagai Kalai, and Akinom Orbach were the attorneys for the 9 plaintiff lesbian couples. They first filed their challenge to the authority's rejection in 2017. The legal team celebrated the decision for putting an end to ugly and unnecessary discrimination, which has no purpose and never had. The time has come for the state on its own initiative to allow full equality of rights for all its citizens, including LGBT people. 2 gay male couples also won a battle against the Population and Immigration Authority this week. The Tel Aviv District Court ordered the authority to register the co-dads as fathers of their children born to surrogate mothers abroad. In their case, the authority claimed that the children's required genetic testing had not been received.
In related news from Italy, lesbian moms are not letting the right-wing government of Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni erase them from their children's birth certificates. Hundreds protested in the streets after local governments received letters from the Interior Ministry last March. The ministry demanded that they stop listing parents on birth certificates rather than mother and father. It ordered the removal of all non-biological mothers' names. A regional court in Veneto sided with the plaintiff parents this week, according to a report in LGBTQ Nation. An appeal is expected. Meloni has deep neo-fascist roots and has said, "I do not believe in a state that places the legitimate desire of a homosexual to adopt a child before the right of that child to have a father and a mother."
2 staff members of a queer night spot in eastern Russia are facing charges of extremism, the first since the Supreme Court outlawed the imagined international LGBT movement in November. Manager Diana Kamilianova and art director Alexander Klimov of the club Pose in Orenburg were arrested this week for hosting a drag show. Police forced patrons and guests to lie face down on the floor, according to Amnesty International, and Performing drag queens were kept half naked as their outfits and wigs were confiscated. Members of the pro-Putin ultra-nationalist group Russian Community of Orenburg reportedly tipped off authorities and joined the police in the raid. The specific charges against Kamila Nova and Klimov, as cited by The Guardian, are promoting non-traditional sexual relations among the visitors of the bar, and acting in premeditation with a group of people who also support the views and activities of the International Public Association of LGBT. After a closed-door hearing, they were remanded in custody until at least May 18th, according to the BBC. They each face up to 10 years in prison.
Diversity, equity, and inclusion programs are being banned in Alabama's public schools and universities. The same bill excludes transgender students and staff from the bathrooms and other sex-segregated campus facilities that match their gender identity. Republican Governor Kay Ivey signed the bill on March 20th. The Republican-controlled state legislature wants to stamp out what it calls divisive concepts. That means, in part, any suggestion that, by virtue of an individual's race, color, religion, sex, ethnicity, or national origin, the individual is inherently racist, sexist, or oppressive, whether consciously or subconsciously, or that they are inherently responsible for actions committed in the past by other members of the same race, color, religion, sex, ethnicity, or national origin. This divisive concept tactic comes right out of the playbook being followed in Republican-controlled U.S. states against what they call woke culture. Obviously, the same strategy fits neatly with attacks on transgender people, especially trans young people. Alabama's new anti-DEI bill is set to become law on October 1st, but watch for a constitutional challenge to delay its enforcement.
Conversion therapy will soon be a thing of the past in New South Wales. The bill passed in the upper house in the wee hours of March 22nd by a vote of 22-4 after hours of impassioned debate. It had already been approved in the lower chamber. When it takes effect in 12 months, the measure will also make it a crime to take someone out of the state to undergo such bogus therapy. Unlike similar legislation elsewhere, the ban applies to both minors and adult victims. There are some specific religious exemptions that allow preachers to sermonize against same-gender relationships or pray with someone experiencing unwanted same-sex attraction. New South Wales joins the Australian Capital Territory, Queensland, and Victoria in banning the medically discredited claim that sexual orientation or gender identity can be changed through counseling and prayer. Bans are being considered in Tasmania, Western Australia, and South Australia.
Finally, trailblazing Australian lawmaker Penny Wong and her partner Sophie Aluwash are honest women at last. They were married at a winery in the South Australia city of Adelaide on March 16th. The couple has been together for almost 20 years, but became officially engaged in late 2023. Their daughters, 8-year-old Hannah and 11-year-old Alexandra, were the flower girls at what's been described as a beautiful ceremony. Prime Minister Anthony Albanese joined several MPs and former government officials among the well-wishers. South Australian Senator and Foreign Minister Wong sported a bright red suit, and Aluwash wore a white satin gown with lace sleeves. The couple posted for their official wedding picture holding bouquets of flowers in a garden setting on Instagram, with the caption, "We are delighted that so many of our family and friends could share this special day with us." Wong was once criticized for siding with her Labour Party before it supported marriage equality. She later became a fierce campaigner for a yes vote in the country's 2017 marriage equality referendum, and famously wept when lawmakers officially made it legal.
Another Australian celebrity will soon join Wong and Aluwash in wedding bliss. Football player Josh Cavallo took a knee on the pitch earlier this year to propose to his partner, Leighton Morrell. Cavallo thanked his A-League Adelaide United teammates for helping arrange the surprise at Cooper Stadium. posting on X/Twitter that he wanted to share the special moment on the pitch where it all started, he wrote, "You have provided a safe space in football, one that I never in my dreams thought could ever be possible."
That's News Wrap, global queer news with attitude, for the week ending March 23rd, 2024. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is written by Greg Gordon, edited by Lucia Chappelle, produced by Brian DeShazer, and brought to you by you.
Thank you. Help keep us in ears around the world at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast and much more. For This Way Out, I'm Daniel Wasillas. Stay healthy.
And I'm Elena Botkin-Levy. Stay safe.
Ireland and its friends around the world are in shock over the unexpected resignation of Prime Minister Leo Varadkar. When he first became Taoiseach in 2017, Varadkar was the youngest to ever hold the office, the first out gay man, and the first biracial person. His centre-right Fine Gael party lost the majority 3 years later, but he resumed office when it formed a coalition government with the Fianna Fáil party in 2022. Abortion became legal and gender identity was added to hate speech prohibitions during his premiership, and at one time, right-wing death threats forced him and his husband to move to a secure location. 4 days after voters declined to change language in the constitution that defines a woman's places in the home and families as based on marriage, he announced his sudden departure. Economic pressures and low polling likely contributed to Varadkar's decision that a new leader would have a better chance in upcoming elections. At his March 20th press conference, he also provided the personal side of the story.
"I've enjoyed being Taoiseach, leader, and a cabinet member since March 2011. I've learned so much about so many things, met so many people who I'd never got to meet, been to places I would never have seen, both home and abroad. And I am deeply grateful for it. And despite the challenges, would wholeheartedly recommend a career in politics to anyone who's considering it. However, politicians are human beings and we have our limitations. We give it everything until we can't anymore, and then we have to move on. I will, of course, continue to fulfill my duties as Taoiseach until a new one is elected and will remain as constituency TD for Dublin West. I know inevitably there'll be speculation as to the quote-unquote real reason for my decision. These are the real reasons. That's it. I have nothing else lined up. I have nothing in mind. I have no definite personal or political plans. But I'm really looking forward to having the time to think about them. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank my party, my coalition partners, particularly Micheál and Eamon, my constituents, colleagues and staff, for their loyalty and their phenomenal work, and I'm going to thank them all in person in the near future. Most of all, I want to finish by thanking the people of Ireland for giving me the opportunity to serve them, and I promise I'll keep working for Ireland and my community in any way I can in the future. Thank you very much."
That was Ireland's gay outgoing Prime Minister, Leo Varadkar. Later in the program,
I'd like to thank the city of San Francisco for the amazing stance that the mayor has taken, and for all of the people here who assisted not just us, but the thousands and thousands of other law-abiding, loving American families who want the rights that every other married couple is entitled to.
But first,
so let's leave it alone, 'cause we can't see eye to eye. There ain't no good guy, there ain't no bad guy. There's only you and me, and we just disagree. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Oh, oh, oh.
A group of delegates to the upcoming United Methodist Church General Conference are circulating three legislative proposals under the rubric The Three R's. In their letter to all conference participants this week, the three R's stand for a plan for a more regionalized structure, a revision of the denomination's social principles, and the removal of all anti-LGBTQ policies. Their agenda should get a positive response this time. It will be the first conference since 2019 when churches that objected to homosexuality were offered the opportunity to leave the denomination. Lucia Chappell introduced one of the most passionate voices from that 2019 conference.
Way down deep in each of the land,
God would break open the sky.
God led the people to the promised land.
God would break open the sky.
A special conference of the United Methodist Church that was intended to resolve the denomination's issues around sexuality ended in a major disappointment for its LGBTQ adherents and their allies. The UMC has been debating the ordination of openly practicing homosexuals in same-gender marriages for decades. Delegates teetered on the edge of schism at the last regular quadrennial meeting 2 years ago when bishops succeeded in stalling a vote to allow further discussion. That discussion was supposed to culminate in a final vote at the special three-day gathering that ended on February 27th. Two proposals were presented. A one-church plan backed by the bishops would have allowed individual congregations or regions to set their own rules for equality in ordination and marriages. However, a coalition of conservative U.S. and African Methodists led more than half the delegates to approve the traditional plan. It closes the loopholes that have allowed queer clergy and same-gender marriages to slip through in spite of the formal rules. It also provides a path for pro-LGBTQ churches to leave the denomination if they cannot obey. Parts of the traditional plan have already been declared unconstitutional by the UMC's Judicial Council, so the opposition's next move was to get the plan as approved referred back to the Judicial Council for a ruling. Aspiring Methodist minister J.J. Warren gave an impassioned speech in support of that motion.
My name is J.J. Warren from the beautiful Upper New York Conference, and I am a lay reserve delegate. I want to speak for this motion because I think there are subtleties that can slip through that we may not have been aware are unconstitutional. And for me and the younger generation that is the church now among you and who want to be the church together with you for the future as well, we desire a church that seeks the justice of God, a church that doesn't waste its money on a conference and come out with no decision because it was unconstitutional. The pain that would happen from this crucifixion of putting the nails in our Methodist church, the pain of this death might be worth a resurrection, but I'd like to see first if that can happen together without being called unconstitutional with whatever we decide. So I support this motion to put this before the Judicial Council so that we together can make a decision for the church, hopefully one that ensures that wherever we are, the United Methodist Church continues and allows people to feel their calling that God has put on their heart, no matter whom they love. So that is my support. And as someone who has grown up in our church, as someone who is gay and goes to the least religious college in the U.S., my evangelism on campus has grown. We have brought people to Jesus because they said they have not heard this message before. They didn't know God could love them because their churches said God didn't. And
And so if we can be a church which brings Jesus to people who are told can't be loved, that's what I want our church to be. And that's the Methodist church that I love and that I want to be a pastor in one day. I want to be a pastor in the Methodist church because I love our tradition. I love all of you. We are the church together. This is the body of Christ, and we are stronger together than we are apart. And no plan to separate us can unite us like God's love. We are the church. We are God's children. Let us be the church together.
That was a frustrated, aspiring Gay United Methodist Church minister, J.J. Warren. The conference agreed to send the approved plan to the Judicial Council for a ruling at its April meeting. Few supporters believe it will pass constitutional muster, but heaven only knows what will happen after that.
The now Reverend J.J. Warren is the executive director of the Young Prophets Collective. 25% of United Methodist congregations have disaffiliated since 2019. New LGBTQ-related policies will be voted on at the General Conference in April.
Our listeners support This Way Out in many ways.
By subscribing to our e-newsletter.
Email us at info@thiswayout.org.
And through your financial contributions to our program.
More information about how you can give is online at thiswayout.org.
Thank you.
Ago, gay and lesbian couples were getting married in the city of San Francisco under a directive from Mayor Gavin Newsom. Republican governor and movie heavy Arnold Schwarzenegger was predicting scenes of Californian carnage in response to the weddings, but Greg Gordon reported a much different atmosphere.
There has been no reported violence. On the contrary, the images of hundreds of couples standing in the rain waiting to get married, several with their young children in tow, have put a human face on the queer marriage issue in media coverage around the world. Meanwhile, spurred by President Bush's announced support for a constitutional amendment outlawing same-gender marriages, entertainer and adoptions activist Rosie O'Donnell and her partner, TV executive Kelly Carpenter, flew from their New York home to San Francisco this week to demonstrate their opposition to Bush's proposal. The couple, who together have four children, was married inside Mayor Gavin Newsom's office and then walked down a grand marble staircase in the rotunda to thunderous cheers from hundreds of spectators who had come to applaud the city's first celebrity queer wedding.
I'd just like to say that we didn't really have any comments prepared. We were both inspired to come here after the sitting president said the vile and vicious and hateful comments he did on Tuesday.
A strong America must also value the institution of marriage. I believe we should respect individuals as we take a principled stand for one of the most fundamental, enduring institutions of our civilization. Congress has already taken a stand on this issue by passing the Defense of Marriage Act signed in 1996 by President Clinton. That statute protects marriage under federal law as a union of a man and a woman, and declares that one state may not redefine marriage for other states. Activist judges, however, have begun redefining marriage by court order without regard for the will of the people and their elected representatives. On an issue of such great consequence, the people's voice must be heard. If judges insist on forcing their arbitrary will upon the people, the only alternative left to the people would be the constitutional process. Our nation must defend the sanctity of marriage.
It inspired myself, my brand new wife, and myself to fly here this morning. We left New York at 5 a.m. We're getting on a plane in about 1 hour because tomorrow it's parent day at our kids' school. Some people asked us where we were going on our honeymoon. With 4 kids under the age of 8, there will be no honeymoon. But I'd like to thank the city of San Francisco for this amazing... amazing stance that the mayor has taken, and for all of the people here who assisted not just us, but the thousands and thousands of other law-abiding, loving American families who want the rights that every other married couple is entitled to. And I thank you all for being here. One thought ran through my mind over and over on the plane as we were flying out here: with liberty and justice for all. Peace.
The California Supreme Court voided the 2004 San Francisco same-gender marriage licenses, but then ruled in favor of marriage equality in 2008. The U.S. Supreme Court's pro-marriage equality Obergefell decision has never been codified in federal law and now hangs by a thread with a conservative majority.
Thanks for discovering This Way Out, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. NewsWrap was reported this week by Elena Brotkin-Levy and Daniel Wasius, and produced by Ryan Drazer. You heard music by Dave Mason, Reverend Dolores Berry, Elton John, Megan Trainor, and Tiny Tim and the Hits. Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music.
This Way Out thanks the Richard Rosenberg Foundation and Richard Merck and Brad Payton of Silicon Valley. Listener donors make this program possible. Ask us about how you can join them.
Look for This Way Out Radio on social media, email us at info@thiswayout.org, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA.
For all of us at This Way Out, I'm Lucia Chappell.
And I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
And on WESU Middletown, Connecticut.
KZZH Eureka, California.
5GTR Mount Gambier, South Australia.
And a wide array of community terrestrial and internet radio stations around the world, including this one.
Stay healthy.
Stay safe.
And stay tuned, y'all.